You know, Joanne always had announcements for me to read. Well, there haven't been any, so I kind of made them up. But there's one I always forgot. It was sign the registration pad and pass them down. And Rachel said, about 7 people last week signed the registration book. So, here are the announcements. Please remember to sign the registration book and pass it down your pew. I have another exciting one to tell you right here. After church today is Ad Board. Please take a bizarre flyer and post it at the store or the library. And I guess, Rachel, are they on the table?
Yes.
They're on the back table. Next Sunday is the last Sunday for Sugar for Christian Neighbors Thanksgiving baskets. We also need someone to take them to Christian Neighbors on Monday between 9:30 and 10:30. If you are willing, please let Rachel know. And I guess at the last count, there were 68 bags. Next Sunday, we need to have men, especially men, have to come to church so they can go next door and pick up the tables for the guitar. Now, that I might have made a big mistake in saying we need the men to come, because now they know why. Maybe they'll all stay home. So, then we women will all pray that the men come to church next Sunday. Keep baking pies, cookies, candies, jelly, and jam. Church will be open on Friday the 6th, so you can bring your goodies. Are there any other announcements, joys, concerns? Dave?
Sorry, did you know we didn't have any out in California? We got back in our daughter, unfortunately, it's pretty bad kidney infection, so it's been impossible.
Prayer for our my neighbor Brian Clark. He's having heart surgery tomorrow, I think it is.
I remember him when he was in high school. Remember your prayers on the prayer list. And this is a note from Carmen. Carmen's the gal that sits in the back row. And there was sugar hanging on the door. This sugar is from Carmen. I'm dropping this off on my way out of town to Oklahoma for a week. Enjoy last Sunday with everyone. Special hello to the 2 bars. God bless you all. Carmen. Someone ring the bell.
Thank you.
We are God's people.
We live in God's world.
We have come to God's house to honor God's name.
And prepare ourselves for God's word.
Come, let us praise Him. Let's continue with the opening prayer. Almighty God, as we hear how Jesus set forth His commandment, we pray that in this time of worship, we may come to a clearer understanding of all that is implied in this wonderful declaration of love. Make us strong and warm our hearts, that we may go forth from this place to determine to show forth our love for you and our neighbors in all we do and say. Amen. Now we'll sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, on 139.
Good morning. It's good to see each of you this morning. Mary left a few minutes before me, headed to Maryland, and I checked. You know, we have these phones where you can keep track of each other to make sure neither one is getting into trouble, you know. It's kind of like can follow you around everywhere. She was, when I just before I got out of the truck to come into church, she was in Marshall, so she wasn't too far from the state line. It doesn't take very long to get down to Indiana or across Indiana, but then Ohio and Pennsylvania take a while. But she got a good start. She should be there, you know, fairly early in the evening, and she's going to watch the girls, help watch them as Nick is going to be in Europe for most of the week. So Emily needed a little extra help, and so that means I'm almost alone at home. Our son Steve and his wife Kayla are there, and so are the two dogs, Pants and Cheese. Now, I wanted to tell you about Pants. A couple months ago, Pants started growling at me and coming at me like he didn't like me. And the kids took Pants to the vet and told what was going on. The vet said, Well, first of all, he says, does your dad drink very much? Thinking maybe I'd done something, you know, in a drunken stupor, I guess. And he said, well, maybe your dad's done something mean to Pants, and maybe that's why he does that. Well, that's fine. And I said, well, I haven't, you know. Just the only time I've been mean to him is when he's come after me, growling and snarling and showing his teeth. And wasn't too long after that he did that to Mary. And kids couldn't figure that out. And then one day he did it to Kayla. And since then he's done it several times. And he did it to Steve too. And yesterday he came across the room after me just like he was going to tear my leg off. And the kids were up there and they took him outside. So the next, you know, in a few minutes, he'll be just as nice as can be. Wants me to pet him. He's wagging his tail, so it's a strange thing. But anyway, I want you to know that I'm not going to be alone during the week, and that I have my companion, Pants, there to protect me some of the time. I really don't think he would hurt me, but I never know. So it's good to be here, and sorry you guys got so much snow this week. We got maybe 4 inches, enough to blow my driveway out with the snowblower, but that's about it. So I always feel good when somebody else gets more snow than I do. Sorry it was you guys, but you're used to it here, right? Yeah, so no big deal. I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll start with a silent prayers, pastoral prayer, a Lord's Prayer we'll share together, and then we'll sing from the hymnal 334, which is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let's be in an attitude to pray together, please. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful for your gifts. We thank you for the love that we have received from you through your Son and through your people. We're grateful for every expression of your love in our lives. Thankful for that measure of health and strength that we experience in our lives each day. We're thankful for our families and friends, for those whom we love and those who love and care for us. And we thank you most for your Son, who lived and died, was raised with power for us. Through him, we are adopted into your family. We become brothers and sisters. And so we praise you and thank you and pray that the worship that we offer to you today would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. We ask for forgiveness for our sins and failures and pray for more grace so that our lives might be more in harmony with your will and your way. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about people, and you care about those on our prayer list, those we carry in our hearts. And we lift them to you together in these moments, praying for that grace that's needed in their lives. For those who are sick, we pray for healing. For those who are in failing strength, we pray for added strength in your presence. For those who have lost loved ones, we pray for your comfort. For those who are recovering from surgery, we pray for healing and strength. For those anticipating surgery, we pray for your presence and your comfort. We offer prayers for our world. We pray for peace. We pray for our nation. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for the United Methodist Church. We offer prayers for the churches in our area, Saugatuck and Douglas and surrounding. May your blessing be upon us together, and may you use each church to share your love and draw people into relationship with you through your Son. We pray for this church and this gathering of your people. We pray that your presence might be real among us as we worship, and that we might speak to other words of encouragement. We pray that the words of the great commandment would be fulfilled in our eyes and in our lives. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture readings this morning are found in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and Leviticus 19, verse 1 and 18. You may find Deuteronomy in your pew Bible on page 160 and 161. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and up on your gates. The second reading, Leviticus, can be found on page 103, 104. The Lord said to Moses, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me now as we offer our healing prayers. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation.
This morning we pray for
in your mercy. At this time,
we will receive our offer.
Thank you.
Lord, it's our prayer that you would bless the gifts that we offer. Use them and us in your service to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
First time, you may be seated. First time I heard, Here I Am, Lord, was at annual conference in Albion in the chapel with hundreds of people singing that. I'll tell you, that song does a lot to you. So thank you for playing it. If you're able, will you stand? We'll sing 557, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Scripture this morning is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and beginning with verse 34 and reading through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the rest. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord God, it's our prayer that you might speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing what's most important is important. It doesn't matter what it is in. I have this, it's almost like a game that I've played with my grandkids. And it started with Ellie, who is a junior in high school this year. And I've done it with every one of my grandkids, down to the twins who are three, going on four. It's a question that I asked them when they were little, and then when they were in school. And I'd say to them, do you know the most important thing? And a little girl, a little boy, I'd say, well, no. And
I'd say, be nice to your grandpa. I didn't have to tell them, be nice to your grandma, because they would be nice to her anyway. Be nice to your grandpa. And then when they got in school, preschool and first, second grade, I'd say the same thing to them. I'd say, has your teacher taught you the most important thing? And they'd get this puzzled look on their face. And they might tell me something that their teacher had taught them. And I said, no, the most important thing, be nice to your grandpa. And it's got to the older ones. I don't say it to the teenagers now. But to Zachary and Carly and Nora, I'll say, has your teacher teach you the most important thing? And they'll just look at me and shake their head. Grandpa, the teacher is not going to teach us that. But they know what it is. I don't have to tell them. Knowing the most important thing is important. And the motives in our scripture of the Pharisees and the one in particular were not the best motive, but that's really what the question was. Of all the laws, which one is the most important? And reminded me of a little story about two guys that were in a law library, all these books of the law, and they were looking at them. And one of them finally says, it's frightening when you think that we started out with just 10 commandments. All these laws. There's an estimate that somebody made that in the United States, total number of laws that are in the books, that'd be federal and state, 35 million. Which one's the most important? So in the Old Testament and then into the New Testament, it started out with 10, and it gradually grew bigger and bigger because the religious leaders added to the commandments. And by the time of Jesus, there were at least 613 laws that people were required to obey. And as far as the religious folk were concerned, every one of those laws was of equal value. Can you imagine? 600. I mean, there are a lot of laws in this country we don't know about, and we're not in danger of breaking them because they're so weird, but there are some weird laws in this country, but 613, and so they asked that question, and the answer that Jesus gave was that you could really boil those down, all the laws in the Old Testament and all those that had been added by the Jewish people, you could boil those down to just two laws that were the most important. And so it's kind of a silly thing to ask my grandkids, has your teacher taught you the most important thing? Not so silly to ask, really, what is the most important thing for us as believers? And it's the great commandment that we love God with all our strength, with all our heart, with all our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Knowing what's important really matters. There's a story that comes back from the days of Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie, efficiency expert, managed to get an interview with him and to talk to him. And he told Carnegie that he had a secret that he wanted to sell him. And Carnegie wanted to know what it was and how much it would cost. And this efficiency expert said, "I'll tell you the secret, and you use it for a while, and then you can send me a check for whatever you think it's worth." And so Carnegie agreed, and this is what the expert told him, and I'm giving it to you for free now, no money. He said, "Every day, write down the 10 most important things you have to do that day in the order of their importance. Then do them in order of their importance, finishing number one before you move on to number two. And then tomorrow, write down the 10 most important things you have to do, including the things that you didn't get done the day before. Because you won't get everything done every day, but you'll get the most important things done." So Carnegie took his advice, and after a couple of weeks, he sent a check to the guy, the story says, for $25,000. I think he could afford it, probably. Knowing what is important. You've already noted that when Jesus answered the question, he took two scriptures from the Old Testament and put them together. Deuteronomy 6 and then Leviticus 19:18. Those two verses. He puts them together. And so he takes the 613 rules and regulations that the people of God had been asked through Scripture and through their church to obey, and he brings them down to two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, there is no other commandment greater than these. I remember years ago, I was working, I was in college, I was in Bible college, and I was working for the Department of Public Works in Wayland. Sounds like a big deal, but they only had three or four of us working there at the time. And I had a new boss, and I was riding with him one day in the pickup. And you know, when people know you go to a Bible college, they ask you things and say things to you that ordinarily they wouldn't. And he made this statement to me. He says, "You know," he says, "it's easy to live by the Ten Commandments." I looked at him and I said, "You should try it sometime." Wasn't very nice of me, was it? But it's true. To sum it down to two, there's a story about some kids at Vacation Bible School, and they were playing the game Red Rover. Did you ever play that as a kid? Red Rover, let Barb come over. And they were playing it. And Red Rover, and someone would come across, and the kids would all be holding their arms, their hands together, and the purpose was to break through. And if you couldn't break through, then you became a part of that team, and then it went back and forth, until there was only one person left. And on that particular day, there was one person that was left, and it was a little girl by the name of Betty. And so the other team called out, Red Rover, send Betty right over. And Betty squinted. She dug in her heels. She kind of pulled back. And then she plopped down on the ground, started crying. And big tears were coming down her cheeks. And it was vacation Bible school, and the pastor ran over to see what was wrong. And she said, "I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play." Pastor asked her why. She said, "I can't win. They've got each other, and all I've got is me." A lot of people in this world that feel that way. They look at the world, they feel alone, and they cry, "I can't win. They've got each other, and all I have is me." We are called by God to love God and to love our neighbor and reach out. And when I was thinking about this service, I was thinking about the love that exists between the people in this church family. It's very real. And it finds expression in lots of ways. And there are so many people in the world that have no understanding of that. And they're looking for it. They might not realize it. They're looking for what this church has and what so many churches have, to be loved and cared for and accepted. And so that commandment to love our neighbor means exactly that. We are to love the church family. But that love needs to go beyond and touch others. I want to speak about the other aspect, our love for God. It's sometimes hard for us, I think, get a handle on what it means to love God as the way Jesus said. And I came across this story that I think illustrates just in one way that love being shared. It's about a man by the name of Walter. And every Sunday for 3 years, he had this routine. On Sunday morning, just before 10 o'clock, he would open the doors to the Epworth Church and begin preparing the church for worship. He would build a fire in the old wood stove. I don't think any of us can remember that day, can we, when they had wood stoves in churches. I've known people that could remember that day. And if it was hot, he would go around and open all the windows, and he would, remember those hand fans we used to have? He would put those around, and he had a list of people that were in the community, and he would spend some time up front. He would place the Bible to the right scripture place for the day, and then he would spend time praying for the people on the list. And he did this every Sunday without fail. It was his routine. And what makes this story different was that most Sundays he was the only one there. No one came to the church. The church had been built, it seems, a long time before this, and the land had been donated by a local farmer. It was given, but there was one stipulation. The stipulation was, if for any reason they stopped meeting on a regular basis, the church doors would be closed and the property would go back to the family of the farmer. And so Walter would open those church doors every Sunday, and the property did not revert back to the original owners. If he hadn't been doing that, it would cease to exist. So he had been doing this for some time, and then one Sunday morning, a young family in the area visited the church, and they met Walter. They joined him in worship. And there was something about this little church nestled in the trees, and the old man who faithfully opened the doors. On the following Sunday, they came back, and within a few weeks, their kids were bringing some of their friends, and sometime later, a pastor was hired, and that little church that was situated almost hidden in the trees became active again, and they began to offer vacation Bible school to the neighborhood and a Christmas celebration and a pageant for the children. And the story says that on the first Sunday of August, people from across the United States came to visit this church and remember the miracle of the old man who refused to let his beloved church die. They had a picnic on the church grounds. While the children were playing and the adults were eating, there was a family that had wandered over to the cemetery, and if you listen carefully, you could hear the parent telling her child, "Let me tell you a story about Walter." Walter had passion. He loved God, he loved his church, and he loved the people in his community. And that's what that commandment, the most important commandment, the greatest commandment, is about. Loving with our souls, giving God our best, and never, never giving up, being 100% committed to our faith. Our love for God finds expression in many ways. It finds expression in our church, but it finds great expression in how we relate to people. Heavenly Father, we know the commandment, but we want to experience the love, your love, and the love of our brothers and sisters. And in experiencing that love, may we be empowered to fulfill the greatest, the most important commandment, to love you, to love others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, number 561, Jesus United by Thy Grace.
join me for the benediction as it's printed in our bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.